All right, so let's begin with a word of prayer before we get into our message. So, Father, this is a time where we can look directly at your word and take your word in. But it's not just a point of taking it in. It's a point of having it be built upon that foundation that we already have of who you are. As Fern talked about with that picture, it's more than just a picture. It's about the character of God and who he is. And as we look at your word here today, help us to hone in on it, make it personal to each individual. The Holy Spirit has that ability to be able to take some words and just kind of let them go out into space, and then by the time they hit an individual, they're the words that individual needs to hear. I pray for that to happen, Lord, and I pray for you to, guide us all and to what's to be said. And I thank you for that, because I have to say already is that there's been so many things that have been mentioned that coincide with the message today. When I hear stuff like that, Lord, I just know that it is the right time for this message and the right moment. Because for some reason we seem to get this connection with everybody, and that just means that there's one God working through all of us. And I just thank you. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so I really believe, so a lot of what Dave was saying and Loretta was saying, I think you're going to find that within the Scripture it's going to just coincide with that. And I think it's important for that to happen, because then it means we're on that, in the right area where God wants us to be all the way through, because we're thinking that way, we're seeing it that way, and we're hearing it that way. So the message we have today is when we are closest to God. And we're looking at, so I'm going to bring up some scripture verses. I'm always have this problem where I have to tone down the number of scripture verses I have, because there's always so much that goes on there. So I think this will give the point of what we're looking at, because there's so many different examples that scripture can just possibly give us. And as you always want to give the fullest amount, that goes with it. And so, so if there isn't misunderstanding, or that it tends to, scripture hits everybody that's there, we'll do what we can to get it right. Well, so what I've done was I've broken this down into two parts. The first part is going to be scripture showing us in terms of when people have been affected and feel closest to God. And then the second part is going to be that if you're not feeling that closeness to God, what do you need to do to draw yourself closer to Him and just allow Him to be in your life? And again, it's a skim. I think a person could write a whole book on this, and to carry through. We're going to start out first meeting God, maybe for the first time. And I think of Nathanael when some of the disciples were just coming to Jesus. I think Andrew and Peter kind of came to Jesus. And then Nathanael kind of comes up and sees Jesus really for the first time. And I think Nathanael in his heart has been seeking the Lord and has had a prayer time, a time where he sets aside some time to just meditate either on God's word or just in his presence and stuff. Because when we look at this little bit of scripture here, it just goes to show me that a simple word that Jesus said about knowing something about Nathanael made a huge difference in him. So we go to John chapter 1, verse 47 through 51. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And that first connection that we have with Jesus is profound. They always say first impressions, make it or break it in terms of where you're going with it. But I think what Jesus does, he tells you what you need to hear first off and foremost. He knows us inside and out. He knows our thoughts even before we get to them. But then Jesus continues and he says, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." Then he added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Wow. So sometimes, you know, in this moment here for Nathanael, I think he feels a close connection with God because God sees his innermost thoughts. My thinking is, and we don't know this for sure, but when he's under that fig tree, he's speaking to God. And Jesus is saying, "I heard what you said." Plain and simple. And then Jesus gives this prophetic message that comes along with it. And that, for Nathanael, you know, that message is for him. For Nathanael, probably that's what helped hold him during those times where he didn't understand what Christ was doing in his ministry. And he didn't know what he meant, you know, in all those times about Jesus going to be going on the cross. And then I can just see the disciples now in that locked room, afraid for their lives that, you know, the soldiers were going to come after them after they had taken Jesus and made an example of what they thought was going to happen to the gospel. And here's Nathanael hanging on to that prophetic word given to him. Be able to see the angels coming up and down. So that's a time, you know, when God speaks to us that way and maybe into the prophetic word. Maybe it's just being able to approach God. Sometimes we feel like we're too dirty. You know, we've done things that God can never forgive us for, and that we just can't approach Him. And especially in the time of when the Bible was written, and even in the New Testament and stuff, that if you had any type of bodily fluid coming out of you, whether it was from a sore or bleeding or some growth that was on your skin, you were unclean. And you were not welcome to be in crowds. You're not welcome to be around any individual. You couldn't get the help that you needed because you had to isolate yourself. So imagine this. A woman that has been bleeding for 12 years. She's spent all of her money trying to, you know, rectify that so that she could be a normal person. And be like everyone else, walking down the street and conversing and going to the market and picking up fruit or food, just like everyone else was, or hold a job. It was impossible for her to do that. So she took this risk. She heard that Jesus was coming, and she thought if she could just touch the cloak, you know, the bottom hem of his cloak, that would be enough for me. If I can get that close to Jesus. But you know how Jesus works. It's never enough. Because he doesn't want just a physical closeness. He wants a spiritual closeness. And when he actually calls this woman out in the crowd. And so let's look at this section over here, if I can. In Mark chapter 5, verse 30 through 34. So the woman had touched Jesus, right? And at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" It's like all these people are there, you know, like in a huge crowd, and there's just no way everybody's touching you, right? They just want to be around you. But Jesus is specifically singling out this one person, this woman. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." You see, this woman was healed of her bleeding the moment she touched Jesus' hem. But she was freed in her spirit. When she was brought before Christ, and Christ accepted her. Is that we need to know that we can approach God. And this person here, this woman, my guess, after this point here, she had no problem being able to approach Jesus about anything. Because she didn't feel condemned by him. So it's pretty awesome to be able to see these, a couple of experiences here. So let's look at another one here. Is that sometimes when we just confess our sins, do you hear the repeat already of what's been said already about being able to approach God and about the confession and stuff? It's I don't want to even say it's a coincidence. It's the way God wants it laid out. You know, just real simple here. Let's look at this in 1 John 1, 8 through 9. That if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confessing to God those things that we have done, the thoughts that we have, you know, the things that we have done in the past, the things that we intentionally have done or even mistakenly have done, getting that off our chest and letting God know it. There's something about speaking it, and we know that God forgives us. But sometimes I think God wants us to speak it so that it's intentional, the confessions of our sin. And that we can then, you know, if we need to do it with a brother or a sister, you know, that's fine. But really the confession needs to be done with God and all the way through. So we know that that can bring a certain closeness to God because we can talk about anything to Him. Some of the deepest, darkest things that are inside our hearts, we can talk to Him. I think sometimes we feel close to God when we are tempted to do something. Sometimes retribution, sometimes just to get that payback, which we well know that we deserve to be able to do, right? Because it's our right sometimes to do that. But when we're given an opportunity in which to do that, and we know that God doesn't want us to do that type of thing, and we choose to serve God during that time, to me, there's a certain closeness to God that you have. Because you know in your heart that you chose to do the right thing. Let's look at a situation here. This one here happens to be Old Testament. It was David before he was king. And he was being persecuted by King Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. Because Saul sent troops after David. Saul was jealous of David and everything that was set up in there. So let's look at the opportunity that David had in order to get back at Saul. In First Samuel chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, says that he came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I'll give you your enemy in your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" And then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now the men took that understanding that there was an opportunity for Dave to get rid of this harassment from King Saul and take your place as king now. But David knew better. David wasn't going to hurt one that had been anointed by God. And so to prove his point, all he did was to just take a small portion of his robe, cut that off, and use that as a witness to King Saul, saying that I could have killed you, but I didn't. That went a long ways with King Saul. That went a long ways even with the men that were with David at that time. It's not a matter of just war and getting what you want. It's about doing what is right with God. So when you're tempted to do something, even by all those around you, and you would probably have every right in which to do those, you need to listen to what God is telling you to do. We can look at the next one, where we are persecuted sometimes for our belief. To be honest with you, I don't think we understand that at all. We know that we can be alienated by some of our family members. But when I think of persecution, I think of putting your life on the line based upon what you believe. And some people had to do that. There's a story of Paul and Silas where they were in this town preaching the gospel. This woman that could, you know, foretell the future and stuff was nagging them and speaking up quite a bit. And finally they cast the demon that was out of her. And the people that were making money off of that didn't like that, so they ended up putting Paul and Silas in jail. Not for anything that was evil or breaking the law. It was because of what their beliefs. So let's look at the response of what they were like when they were in jail. So in Acts 16, 22 and 25, he said, the crowd joined in on the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They could be in that prison, and they could be complaining to God. They could be saying, what is this, God? I'm no longer going to be serving you because if I was really serving you, would never allow this to happen to us. I mean, we can probably relate to something like that. But yet, Paul and Silas knew that God always has a plan. Because soon after this, after all this singing, getting the attention that even though these people are in the deepest, darkest dungeon, they're still praising God with all of their heart and the joy that's right out there. Again, to us and sometimes to the world, that makes no sense. But to a believer, to one where you know that's where your strength is, that's where your wisdom comes from, that's where your guidance comes from, that makes perfect sense that you continue to praise God no matter what the situation is. Well, when you know there's going to be an earthquake that's going to come, and the guard was going to kill himself, and you stopped him. And before long, a whole family was saved when you thought maybe it was just a waste of time praising God. But maybe there's a confirmation that when we're asked to do something by God, do we always say, are you sure, God? Are you choosing me? Because you know that I don't do this and I can't do this and I am not like that. And yet God calls you to do something crazy. Like, maybe like Gideon. I want you to take an army and I want you to take out all these, what are they, the Midianites and the Amalekites. And there's so many of them that you can't even count. They're talking about the camels, right? The camels in the army that was going against the Israelites. And God says, yeah, get an army together and I'm going to help you choose the ones that are going to be fighting. Yep, 300 of them. And it was really hard for Gideon to be able to get that. But you know what Gideon did? He went down to the camp to spy it out. And he heard some of the guys talking. I had this dream last night that this bread, this loaf of bread, rolled down the hill and kind of took us all out. And they were like, oh, Gideon is going to destroy us all. We know that now because I've had this dream. Gideon hears that person speaking. And I want to show you this response that goes along with that. So in Judges 7:15, he says, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, right? This is a moment. Get up. You got to hear this stuff. You got to start acting right now. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into our hands. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. That confirmation made him so close with God that he was willing to take his 300 men and go against this entire army of thousands of men. Now that's when you feel close, when we've got it. Maybe it's just reading the Word brings you close to God. And so there's a time in the Old Testament where the temple had been destroyed and Josiah is king now. And he's starting to rebuild the temple. And can you imagine, as they're rebuilding the temple and taking up all the rubble and stuff, and they find the book, God's book. And the individual that finds it starts reading it, and he says, I've got to take this to the king, and we've got to be able to do this. It's amazing how just reading his word brings you to a certain closeness to it. So let's look at what happens here in this case. In 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 10, verse 1. It says, then the Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah, that the priest had given me a book. Then Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. Because he realized how wrong his nation had been. And it didn't end there. They just ended up reading that book through right from the beginning to the end, and everybody stood to hear it. Amazing how the Word of God can move an individual. And then sometimes we have visions too. Sometimes we have things that happen in our lives that you just know it's a presence from God. So Paul, in his great ministry and everything, he always relied on the God to give him guidance in what to do. So we look at this little story here in Acts 16, 9 through 10. It says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. That's awesome, right? And when God speaks to you in dreams, or when God speaks to you in visions, or there's something that just, something happens, it brings a certain closeness to God. And then you just go about and just do the things as you're looking at it out. And then Paul, when he was doing his ministry, there's just something about the Holy Spirit being able to move through a crowd and move. You know, whether there's healings that's going on, or whether there's just people are just falling over. Maybe people have just been so convicted, or they're just being in the presence of God, that it's when the gospel is preached and the Holy Spirit is moving, there is a closeness that just never, ever seems to disappear. So let's look at this here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. He says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. God's word, preached, read, listen to is powerful. When we talk about moving mountains, I think it's harder to move a heart from evil to good. But the gospel has that ability, and God has the ability to change the hearts of individuals. So we look at this, and my next slide is blank. Because this is the slide that you get to contribute. And you're going to say, oh no, I don't like doing that sort of thing. Well, it's written in Scripture how we've got a prophetic word, we've got being able to approach God, we've got confirmation, we've got being tempted but yet doing what God wants us to do. We've got being persecuted for our faith. We've got confirmation. We've got reading His Word. We've got visions from God. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit working on us. But it doesn't end there. Because your lives have been touched by God. It gives you a certain closeness. Is there anybody here that would be willing to share, you know, a moment? You don't need to be long and drawn out about telling the whole story. But is there a time, or even on Zoom, if you'd like to just unmute and you can share with us? Is there anybody here?
I'd like to share the vision that I had.
Sure.
After they found out that Dave's brother Brian passed away, all he had to do was tell me what they saw in the hospital room, because I wasn't there. But the vision, I was there. I heard his voice, like he was right there talking to me. Says, tell my mom I'm okay. Because I guess that's all she needed to know, that he was where he needed to be. And she needed to be reassured that's where he went. And I told her, I said, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And I explained to her, I go, you know I wasn't there. She goes, yeah. I've seen exactly what he looked like and described it. She just looked at me. She goes, you have a special gift. And you saw that vision. Yeah. I said, well, I thank God that I was, you know, my sins have been all washed away because I got baptized, you know, in the holy water. And, you know, now living with God, what he wants me to do is, you know, it's like, okay, now what's next? What's the next chapter?
Yeah.
What am I going to do now?
I know, because when you have that connection, there's a closeness with God, and it's just like, and it's okay. It doesn't matter what else happens, and I like that. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Terry, I'll have you go first.
I'll do it really quickly. So my first husband passed away, and I was really young, and I had four children that I had to raise on my own, and I'll do this really, really quick. So I went to the Lord in prayer every day, every night, and I continued to pray to Him and asked Him for guidance and direction in my life at that time so that I could raise these children on my own, because I knew I had to. Well, I prayed for a particular church. We visited three or four churches. Wasn't right. He brought us to the right church. I could feel the Holy Spirit on the ground of that church when we stepped out of the vehicle. And for 12 years, I taught children's church at that church because the Lord had put me in that place and taught me these things, because the lady, the pastor's wife that was doing it at the time, had a severe accident, and he put me in the place at the right time, not just for myself and my children, but for others. So he brought us all together. And what an amazing thing to have in your life is whenever he works in your life and you know the power, his power of working in your life. That to me is a true, honest commitment or confirmation from the Lord.
Yeah.
That He's working in your life.
Yeah, and that's where you feel close.
You know.
Yeah. You're just right there. Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah. Doran, did you want to share some?
Yeah, there are 66 books in the Bible inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by the Holy Spirit. And I believe He's not done. I believe we are book number 67. The Holy Spirit is writing that new book in our hearts.
Yeah, yeah. And I've heard that too. It's like the book of Acts is not finished.
Right.
It doesn't come to a conclusion on that. So, yeah, is there anybody on Zoom that wants to share? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Oh, yeah, that's fine, Loretta. Yep, thank you. So I know I'm preaching to the choir, right? But if there's times where you don't feel that closeness with God, then what should you do? What's the recipe for being able to fix that? Well, I've got a few here. I got like five different verses that I want to look at, and I'm going to tell you it is an exhaustive list, but I've tried to limit myself to what we've got here. Oh, what happened here? Where is that there? I must. I don't know why it does that. That was just weird. All right, so here we go. Make sure I'm on the right verse. I am. Ephesians 6, 7 through 8. It says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free." The point being here is just serve as if you're working for the Lord, no matter what you're doing. No matter what time of the day it is, whether there's people around you. I tell my kids all the time, especially on the Zoom stuff when they were doing tests and quizzes and stuff. I said, I expect you to have integrity when you're doing this. I know that when you're home, you can have this paper out and that other computer up, and you can be getting all the answers from some of this stuff here, but I am trusting you that you're going to have integrity. And this is what God wants us to be able to do too. So no matter what we're doing, we need to do it as if we're serving the Lord 100%. The jobs that we do the best that we can because we're serving the Lord. Right? The thoughts that we have, we do the best that we can because we're serving the Lord. The things that we say, we're doing the best we can because we're serving the Lord always during that time. So, if you in your life feel as though, well, maybe I'm not really doing that for the Lord, then don't do it. All right, that's creating barriers. It's going to put between you and the Lord, not something that the Lord has put up there, but something that you have put up between the Lord. So by serving Him in all that you do, do it in complete honesty, balance scales, you know, and all that stuff. Make sure you're doing it there. Next one, pretty simple. Don't sin. Now, I'm going to say it's kind of impossible because, you know, it's our innate nature to do that sort of thing. But stay away, you know, from sin. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." All right, we are at war with that stuff. We are, you know, that stuff is in our eyes all the time, you know, on television screens, on the radios, in the songs sometimes that we listen to, the dialogues of the people that we're with, you know, it's just constant. It is a battle. Because we, as it says in this scripture here, we're not really of this world anymore, but we're here. Our home is with God in that place called heaven. That's our place. That's our residence. And we're here temporarily in a fallen world. And Paul is saying to the Ephesians, you know, don't fall prey to the sin that's around you. Hold up to it. He says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." Right? We know that Christ is returning. We don't know when. But are you ready, and are the people around you ready for that, knowing that that's going to happen? Well, maybe what we also need to be doing is studying His Word. All right, we've already talked about reading His Word, but maybe we need to study it some. Let's look at what Scripture here says in James 1:25. "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law," that's not the Jewish law we're talking about, I'm talking about God's spiritual law is what's mentioned here, "that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." So, when you're studying God's Word, you know, sometimes, a lot of times when we're in Bible study and we're doing this Old Testament in the book of Genesis on Wednesdays, we're looking at the characters. As you know, there seems to be this rule of law that runs through Abraham's family and his brothers and his own descendants and stuff, that you can have this deceiving things going on all the time. And it just seems to be a family trait. But it's not what God wants. So when we start studying the Word, maybe we can start learning some of those things. Well, maybe if God really doesn't want Abraham's descendants to be deceiving, then maybe I shouldn't be either. I should be truthful about all the things that I do. And you're studying the Word not just to memorize Scripture verses, but to take those words in and let it be part of you. That your heart is turning because you're seeing how God has moved in other individuals, how they have changed their lives, and by golly, you can change your lives too. that if Jesus can heal this individual of a physical illness and forgive them of their sins in a spiritual sense, then he can do the same for you. And you're free to do that. Because that's what God wants you to do. Maybe another thing that can bring you a certain closeness to God is just to talk about it. To share the faith that you have. Now you're going to say, oh, I'm not like that pillar of the church, and I'm not like you know someone else that I know that has been a Christian all their life and stuff. I'm just a brand new Christian. You know, I don't really know anything. Share what you do know. Share how God has been working in your life. And the things that you found out about God. Let others know because they need to hear that. And there's going to be a certain excitement in your life, in your voice, that people are going to hang on to. Oh yeah, Christ came into my heart today. I'm really happy. Or is it like, God came into me! And I just got to let people know what's going on. You know how that works. It just God's that kind of that way. So let's look at some scripture here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. So he's special. He's not just anybody. He is God. Always be prepared to give an answer to someone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why? Because they need to hear the gospel. So the things that we're saying here today, that's great. But you know, there's a whole bunch of people outside these four walls that have never heard anybody speak about God the way you've spoken about Him today. They need to hear that. And when you start doing that, then all of a sudden you realize the impact that that might have on an individual. And wouldn't that be something? If someone said, I want to accept Christ, how do I do it? And you're going to say, oh, I don't know. I don't know how to do that. Yeah, you are. You know how to do it because you've already done it. And in those moments, you just feel like God working through you and how gifted, how much of a gift that is, I should say, to be able to share your faith. Well, how about this one here? That we have to not neglect that we need to be in communion with God. To set time aside, and we call that little four-letter word called prayer. That you need to be in prayer with God. Oops. So in Luke 6:12, it says, one of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. All night long he spent praying to God. Have you done that, where you're praying and all of a sudden, I mean, you know, you wake up in the morning and it's like you just continue the prayer. You didn't even realize that you fell asleep and when you woke up, you're right back in prayer again. And how neat that is to be able to do that. God wants you to do that sort of thing. It's to spend time with Him in prayer. In my case, I try to listen to what God has to say. You know, I'll say a few things, but it's just like, God, what would you like me to do today? How do you want me to handle this situation? To me, that's my type of prayer. I need the guidance from God. But Jesus prayed, and we should too. Those were the times where Jesus was getting his instructions from God. Jesus never spoke a word that God didn't tell him to speak and never did anything that God didn't tell him to do. After this verse over here, guess what he did? But he selected his 12 disciples. All right? And the last verse that I have is, to me, this is a summation of what we're supposed to do. This is the giving us our duties as a Christian, what we're supposed to do. And really all it is just the first and the second commandment. In Matthew 22, verse 34 and 40, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, and all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." If you don't know those two commandments, if you don't put them in the forefront of your mind, put them there, and you'll find all of a sudden that there'll be a closeness to God, because why? You're doing just what God wants you to do. We like to fill our times doing this because that's a good work. Fill our time doing this over here because that's another good work. Fill our time doing this because that's another good work. What God wants you to do is to love Him with everything that you have, and that permeates to the people around you. Love individuals, even the unlovable ones, the ones that hate you, the ones that, you know, say bad things about you, the ones that rip you off time and time again, the ones that don't forgive you. Love them the way Christ loves you. Because I believe, even with these few items here, and there's others, that you'll start to find a closeness with God that maybe you've been missing. You'll be able to find then, you know, a closeness with others that maybe you have been missing because you were missing God's closeness. Can you imagine having a whole life? And I think sometimes, you know, woe is me, in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, how wretched your soul is and everything, and in your spirit, how poor is your spirit, because only now, after all these years that I've spent on this earth, only now do I realize that there's a God. If I had only known when I was a kid that there was a God, how my life would have been different. Regardless of that, knowing God today and being close with Him is what counts. More than the money in your wallet, more than having a fancy car, it's your relationship with God that counts. Amen? Lord, I do thank You for Your word today, and I just thank You for everybody that contributed as well. Your message is for all of us. And I thank You. And this we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.